This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Thank you to Babbel for sponsoring this video.
I see dead people.
That's definitely this movie. Anyways, we're going to get into it. Really quick, I just got to see what year, if this was 82, if I was wrong. I'm just curious before we get into our review.
Survey says, screen is loading. Survey says, 80 freaking 2?
I was right.
Why did it say 88?
Yeah, that one poster said Super Bowl 1988. That was
maybe
weird.
It took place in the future? Interesting.
So, anyways, if you are listening to us on Apple or Spotify, if you don't mind dropping down a rating for us, we would really greatly appreciate it. I love 80s films in general, but this lived up to the hype of, I mean, obviously they had not come out, this was 1982, so they had not come out with, Kathleen Kennedy. They had not come out with PG-13 because this was definitely a little excessive for a PG film. But, I mean, lived up to all the hype that I had heard over the years and obviously what Greg was telling us right before we'd reacted to it. But I'm glad, too, there was actually a story here. It wasn't just, like, random, you know, ghost and poltergeist or whatever, like... there was logic here, and I actually thought it made sense, you know, in terms of you know, greed was the theme here on greed bad, and it makes sense, I thought that was an interesting twist and turn I didn't see coming, because like I said, I just thought that was going to just be a random point in it with just these ghosts coming out of nowhere and just going to focus more on the horror aspects of it, which I was terrified the entire time, like just waiting for the next jump scare. But I think the most important thing in a horror film that I think is the characters. Obviously, storyline is a very big deal, of course, but you got to care about the characters in a horror film. And I genuinely did care about these characters and what happened to them and their well-being, especially with the little girl. I mean, with what happened, like I was like teetering on the edge, like, please get her back. I think the film definitely achieved the sense of like, having me invested in characters that I didn't want anything to happen to. And I think that's always the good, you know, you can tell a good horror film just from that aspect of it. So from that perspective, I thought the film definitely did a good job. And again, like I said, I appreciated that Spielberg with the writing just took the time and effort to put some logic into it with why these ghosts are just randomly attacking this town and this house because of what, the disrespect that they had. The graveyard, the cemetery was there, and that they built on it. They just got rid of the tombstones, left the cemetery there, and built over it. Made total sense. I definitely got more of what I want to say, but what did you think of the film?
I thought it was really good. I thought that it was enjoyable from start to finish. I enjoyed the fact that it's different from a lot of horror movies that I guess we're accustomed to today because it did have the element of heart to it as we're going along and getting invested with this family and spending time with them. And we have to have that moment of peace and seeing what their dynamic is like prior to all the stuff going down, like
from
the two of them in the bed, like having fun, like being goofy, smoking on a doobie and whatnot. And
that's how I related to them.
Yeah. Right.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I thought it was a lot of fun. And I liked that, you know, even though it was a horror movie, it wasn't trying to scare you 24/7. You know, it was really trying to get you invested in this family and kind of explore what it's like to have a family experiencing something that's supernatural and, you know, seeing them kind of struggle through that.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed all the actors and the performances in this movie.
Absolutely.
You know, and the intrigue. I feel like it had the sense of wonder in addition to like the horror aspects of it, because it was this thing that was happening that was unexplainable, but it didn't treat it in like a super dark way. It was scary for sure, but it wasn't trying to use like shadows to portray that. It was using this sense of weirdness and this otherness, and I enjoyed the imagination in which they displayed this haunting occur, because Absolutely. We don't see it done in this particular way very often. And watching it, I know you haven't seen Stranger Things. I like seeing the inspiration for what we know to happen in Stranger Things, if you've seen Stranger Things.
Yeah, she did pass away just really quick.
Oh, 12 right. years old? Oh, yeah. No.
So, sorry about that. It's but awful. Yeah, I you do make a good point. I do like that in the beginning of the film, we spent a considerable amount of time before, like, all the horrors and crazy stuff happened. And again, that's where we did, you know, get invested in this family. And yeah, that was a very wise choice on Spielberg's part. I am very curious, because we are at by the end of this, we will get into the IMDb facts. Maybe they will reveal on there whether he did silently direct this film. Obviously, as a producer and writer on this, I'm sure he had, especially in 1982, he was already rising to, you know, as the creme de la creme, one of the best directors at that point anyways. You know, he'd already done such iconic films, and he was making E.T. in the same year, I believe it was 82 as well.
Yeah.
So I would imagine he had quite the influence on the film, whether he was the official director or not, even though I know it said Tobe Hooper. And I thought Tobe Hooper or Spielberg, whoever the hell directed this film, did a really good job of directing, just from the suspense and also the actors' performances. I thought the kids actually did a really good job as well, especially the little girl. I mean, just from the fact she had to look at static TV, that was impressive. But also the way that she was relaying to us, the audience, of like letting us in on the fact that, yes, I mean, we knew that there were ghosts just from the title, but just letting us in on the fact that, and to relay to her parents that we're not alone, kind of thing. And the way she was able to display that through facial expressions in a moment, that's not an easy thing to do for any actor, but especially children who are actors. So I thought she did a fantastic job. And even the little boy, Robbie, the way he was able to display the fear and anxiety. And I mean, I was feeling that through his expressions. So the kids all did a great job. The older daughter, at the end there, when she had the hickey, like, she was frustrating me, like, get the hell in the car. I was definitely Seriously. Getting a little, just nitpicking before we get into some of the other great things in this film. I was getting a tiny bit, maybe y'all felt the same way, maybe not, but I was definitely getting a little bit frustrated, like, why are we still in this house? Why are you looking at the thing? Get in the damn car. I get it. The like you said, the
you know, it has to happen, but still, right, it's right, frustrating. Right, like, right. You have no reason to still be here.
Right, right. Obviously, like it has to happen. But for 1982, and again, I don't know the budget of this film, but the special effects and what we were able to, what they're able to do at the time, very impressive. I mean, you got that one shot with the long corridor and the practical effects that they were able to do. Absolutely fantastic. Yeah, I mean, you have even like simple things with the clown, and then all the stuff that was coming out of the ground, and then those skeletons that were coming out.
Steak, and then the guy with the
Yeah, the steak. Yeah, that. I mean, there were some crazy, crazy things. I wonder if they had Rob Bottin. I don't know who. I mean, I'll have to look it up later, but whoever the special effects team and doing all the practical stuff, absolutely fantastic job on this film. I mean, like I said, I was completely scared. I did find that one character to be very, I mean, I liked the when we got the 80s Cillian Murphy and that other woman. I found them to be extremely intriguing.
Yeah.
But I also found that other woman, I don't know what, like an exorcist woman or whatever she was. I found her to be extremely intriguing as well. And obviously she was MVP in terms of helping to get Carolyn back.
Yeah.
I kind of almost thought like she was double crossing them when she was saying to cross children or something. I couldn't tell what was happening. Just
for the spirits, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause so much mortals was going on. I thought she was double crossing them. I couldn't tell what was happening, but either way, like, clearly a very integral part of the in terms of characters. But yeah, I wasn't expecting that character. And yeah, she was great. I loved her performance as well. I mean, it was good dialogue that Spielberg wrote for her, but her delivery was fantastic.
Yeah.
I truly believed her when she was saying these lines too.
Yeah, same. When watching stories, right, something like this, it's funny that you talk about characters. Because as I was watching it, and especially in the finale, I was wondering, I was like, okay, every character seems to have like some sort of function within the story, whether it be the female or the woman, the lead lady of the investigative team. Right. She was there to like support the wife, you know, and then Cillian Murphy was there to, I guess, bear witness as an outside party to the things that were happening and like have it happen to him firsthand. And then the black dude had his role in it as well. I think the only character in the movie that didn't really serve a function was the older daughter.
Absolutely. She
was just, I was like, why is she here at all? They wrote her out of the story and then they brought her back. Like, oh yeah, we forgot to have her.
She's there to sleep at the other friend's house.
And then she has a hickey that's never explained.
And she's there to have a hickey.
Oh, so I will say that's, I think
typical teenage 80s girl.
Right. So that's one criticism, or I guess question/criticism. Maybe she had a bigger role in an extended cut or a different version of the movie. I don't know. The other thing I wanted to say is that it's funny that we're watching this, and like as of time of recording this, there is like this whole debacle or whatnot about like Chris Stuckman and his whole thing about like not wanting to criticize Madame Web and having
I have no problem with that.
No. But the fact that studios interfere with an artist's visions and whatnot, right? Mm. And it's funny watching this on the cusp of that and like all the controversy with Madame Web, because I feel like the whole section after they save the daughter and then stuff really starts to go crazy, it felt like a studio note was just like, we need more crazy stuff to happen, because like this movie wasn't crazy enough. We just need like a big finale to go down before we can really give this family peace, because it wasn't exactly necessary to the story. Everything had kind of resolved except for the confrontation between the dad and Mr. Teague about them not having the families actually, or having the bodies actually moved, but just the headstones moved.
Right.
I think that's the only purpose that scene serves. So there's like a vocal recognition of what had happened and why this is happening.
Yeah.
But outside of that, it didn't really serve much else, because everything that they were working towards had been resolved. The only reason they were still in the house in the first place was because the daughter had been taken.
Correct.
And the parents were there,
but once
because
they
wanted
her
to
back,
save her.
Why the hell are you still there?
Exactly. And just like,
go to a hotel while you collect your
hotel.
Go to a hotel while you're, or and have some movers grab your shit, even if you still need it. But yeah, no, like you said, it served a purpose in terms of Mr. Teague. I guess he had to see it, but
It felt like a studio note to me, rather than an organic ending.
Yeah. I'm curious if Spielberg wrote that in. That's a great question, because that, again, while visually the practical effects that happened in that scene, I'm glad that they included it in, but from a storyline,
I'm not mad at it.
Storyline and characters wise, it wasn't necessary. But I'm like you said, I'm glad it happened. I'm glad we saw it from Mr. Teague's perspective. I'm glad he got to witness what greed and what he caused. From that perspective, I'm glad. But
I feel like
why they're still there, why Craig T. Nelson and his family are still there, that it made no for me, it made no, I would assume for you too, it made no sense.
Hello there, esteemed viewer of The Real Rejects. I, Greg Alba, language connoisseur and worldly gentleman, am here to bestow upon you the secrets of Babbel. Babbel is an engaging language learning app designed for real-life conversations, offering quick 10-minute lessons tailored by linguistic experts to effectively teach you a new language. Its conversation-based approach, enhanced with speech recognition technology, makes Babbel worth trying for anyone looking to learn at their own pace, anytime, anywhere. My dear friends, in this age of monolingual mundanity. Babbel is our beacon of hope, crafted by an army of over 150 language experts. Their lessons are like linguistic caviar, rich, refined, and oh so satisfying. Personal tale of triumph. I once whispered sweet nothings in Spanish, or for the layman, Espanol, to my wife, courtesy of Babbel. Her reaction, well, I'll tell you, she was utterly bewitched. Greg, you silver-tongued devil, no paraphrase. She exclaimed such vocabulary as I basked in the glory of my perfect pronunciation. Because Babbel isn't just about learning words. It's about embracing the art of conversation with podcasts, live classes, and a veritable smorgasbord of interactive lessons. I know the words I'm saying. And their speech recognition? It's like having a personal language butler, ensuring every syllable is impeccably crisp. Now brace yourselves for an offer of monumental proportions. Here's a special limited time deal for our viewers and listeners to get you started right now. Get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but again, only for our viewers, at babbel.com/rejects. 55% off at babbel.com/rejects. Spelled babbel.com/rejects. Rules and restrictions may apply. Join me, the Greg Alba, in the adventure of language mastery at Babbel. We shall not just learn we shall conquer the world of communication. Or as they say in Spanish, comunicación. We're done with this ad.
If there's a way for them to have fused that post-ending with like the actual ending of them saving the daughter together, I think that would have been more satisfying. But I think that it was still cool seeing all that stuff and like seeing everything come to an end.
Right.
Because
You're saying
she said the house was clean, so yeah. I figured we just end it there.
Right. You're saying in the scene where they got the daughter back, if that all happened simultaneously within that one scene,
within that scene of them leaving,
and then we get the whole thing with Mr. Teague, like in that whole section.
Because that's
there.
The resolution and the crescendo.
Yeah, I could see that if that all happened, and you could just have that slap that on with an extra 10 minutes, and it all happens there like that. And then they go, and then you just. Put two and two together and then, that they get their kids after
and
that.
Like, what are the odds that the daughter just shows back up as everything's going crazy and then they all just drive off together? I was just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I liked everything up until that point. I like the action itself of all the stuff going crazy.
Oh, yes.
But
everything
from the story perspective
didn't
make a lot of sense.
And characters wise, in terms of the family still being there. Yes, I agree. Even though they said like the house is clean, it's like, would you still want to stay there?
Hell no, I'm not trying to stay there.
Not, I wouldn't.
I'm trying to get gone, bro. Yeah, this is terrifying.
Yeah, and would you, and even if you stay there and the house is clean, would you still let your kids be in that room by themselves?
No, we're staying together all the time.
Yeah,
I'm not
we're
doing that anymore.
Not letting my kids be alone at all. No, thank you. All right, let's see if I can find some fun little facts. Do you have anything else you want to say before I go to the fun facts?
I liked all the family's relationships. I would have liked to have known more about their dynamic, mm-hmm. but obviously we're here for the scares, not here for the inner workings of the family. I wish the daughter had a more of an integral role.
Yeah,
the oldest daughter. I mean,
yeah. If you notice, when I said like I thought all the kids did a really good job. I didn't really include. I was talking more about
the little kids,
but because she wasn't really the older daughter wasn't barely in the movie. I feel
exactly.
Like.
Exactly. I was like, why even have her there?
Oh, okay. So here are some. Did you want to say anything else before I add the trivia facts here?
No, I'm not feeling good.
Okay. All right. So Heather O'Rourke, who plays the little girl, mm-hmm. the blonde little girl, kept the pet goldfish that Carol Ann has in the film.
Aww.
Well. Until she bows. Unfortunately, God rest her soul. Dominic Dunn, Dana Freeling, and Heather O'Rourke, Carol Ann Freeling, are buried in the same. Wait, who's Dana Freeling? Wait, is that the older daughter? Hold on.
No.
Hold on.
If it is, it's so sad.
Hold on. Oh my
God.
Don't tell me that. The older daughter also passed.
22?
Yeah.
In 82, the same year?
The older daughter also passed away.
Oh my God, dude.
Wow.
Wait, when did Poltergeist come out?
82. Oh, you mean what date?
Yeah, what the hell? Is that why she's barely in the movie?
Maybe. I'm sorry about criticizing her performance. I don't mean her as an actress. I just meant the character. I wasn't criticizing her performance.
Also, I wasn't laughing at the fact that he said the little girl died. It was just the way he said it.
Yes. Our apologies. We're not being insensitive here, I promise you. The movie came out June 4th, 1982, so she passed July, August, September, October, 5 months after the movie came out, and then the little girl 6 years later.
Oh, my God.
So, but
we don't have to read that.
Dominique Dunn and Heather O'Rourke are buried in the same cemetery, Westwood Memorial Park in Los Angeles. On October 30th, Dane was. Oh my God. I don't even want to read this. I'll just pass on that.
We'll read that later.
Yeah, I'm not going to read that. Y'all know what happened.
Was it about the girl? Was it the little girl?
It was about the older one, how she passed away. Not going to read that on camera, but y'all probably already know what happened. Both of the terrors that plague Robbie came from Steven Spielberg's own fear as a child, a fear of clowns and a tree outside his window.
Mm.
That's interesting that Spielberg would.
Terrifying.
Sometimes, you know, like what we experience ourselves, like just really works well on screen. So I applaud Spielberg for doing something like that because, I mean, I've always been afraid of clowns, so I can totally sympathize with him there. Let's see. I'll just do a couple more because I'm sure you guys are sick of me rambling here.
I thought it was used as license to just go crazy. Just like, yeah, we're going to use this premise of these dead people still under this house who are in between full death and life to just do whatever we want within like the realm of being of horror. And I'm like, that's a clever excuse to do that. I like that.
Drew Barrymore was considered for the role of Carol Ann, but producer Steven Spielberg wanted someone more angelic. It was Barrymore's audition for this role in this film, however, that landed her the role of Gertie in E.T. the Extraterrestrial the same year, 1982.
Wow, that's cool.
All right, I'll read two more, and we'll call it a night here. During all the horrors that proceeded while filming Poltergeist, only one scene really scared Heather O'Rourke. That in which she had to hold onto the headboard while a wind machine blew toys into the closet behind her. I could see that.
Yeah, that'd be
terrifying. Young actress fell apart. Producer Steven Spielberg stopped everything, took her in his arms, and said she would not have to do that scene again.
Aww,
you could definitely sense the terror when we were watching that scene from the actor. I mean, yeah, for sure. That was, I mean, I was like, this is really feels genuine. Let's see. I don't want to read that. Sorry.
Another fact about...
Yeah. I don't want to read that. Sorry, guys. I'm just trying to find something interesting here. Although I'm sure most of you know some of these, but either way.
I want
to
know these after we're done.
Yeah. Oh, don't worry. I'll let you know. Oh, okay. Last one that we're going to read here, because it says 341 out of 350... 341 out of 350 people found this interesting. Heather O'Rourke, plays Carol Ann, was chosen for the film when she was eating lunch with her mother and sister at an MGM commissary. Producer Steven Spielberg came up to them and wanted O'Rourke for the part of Carol Ann. She initially failed the screen test because she kept laughing her way through the audition, even when she was supposed to be afraid. Spielberg thought she was too young to take the part seriously, but he still recognized something special in her. So he asked her to come back for another audition, and this time bring a scary storybook with her. He also asked her to scream, so she screamed and screamed until she started crying. The audition got her cast as Carol Ann. Spielberg's a genius. I mean, I also, too, sorry to get a little off topic here before we end this. I remember, too, I don't know if you've seen this. I've seen so many times on Twitter or X, whatever the hell it's called now. The kid who plays Elliot in E.T., his audition on there, he just absolutely nails it where he's crying. And Spielberg, at the very end of his audition with the kid who plays Elliot, says, "Okay, kid, you got the part." They just knew right away. So, I mean, but Spielberg, he's one of those directors where he just knows talent and he knows how to invoke, how to get that performance out of you. That's why he's one of, if not, you can argue he's the greatest director of all time, but obviously you can't argue that he's not one of the greatest directors of all time. He's simply a genius.
Him and Scorsese,
Him, Scorsese, I mean, yeah. Any final thoughts before we end this?
This was good. I'm happy we finally got to see this classic.
I love 80s films. So any other 80s films you'd like Aaron, myself, anyone else on the team to react to? Any 80s horror films or just horror films in general that are in the same vein as this one? I really enjoyed this, other than a couple little things in here. But obviously rest in peace to little Heather O'Rourke and the older sister and anyone else in this film. I think I saw some other actors and actresses that did pass away, just older age and all that. Rest in peace. But very good film. Spielberg nailed it with the writing, producing, silent directing, whatever else he did on this film. Everyone else, great job. I really, really enjoyed this film. But anyways, love you guys. We shall see you on the next one. Peace.